week, I was cut out mid-sentence. So I'll go back to what we were talking about then, and then we'll move on to this week's topic. So last week we were talking about schita. Schita, which is the tall of dosh. Dosh is threshing. And we crush or peel a fruit, a grain, or something like that in order to get out the food. And we said that squeezing liquid out of a solid is also a iser of dosh. But if you squeeze the liquid onto liquid, sorry, if you squeeze the liquid onto food, so then there's no problem because it goes from food to food and you're not changing it from food to liquid. So we said if you're having schnitzels and you take lemons and you squeeze them onto a schnitzel or onto a piece of fish, that is not a problem of schita because you're taking liquid and putting it onto food, so therefore what we say is going straight from food to food and doesn't become liquid in between. The way we passed it was that even if it wasn't all absorbed in the food, you know, it was a little bit extra, since most of the ikkah was for the four food purposes, then the rest is alright. And there are those who are machmir. Now, we mentioned that we divide our fruits and vegetables that we squeeze for juice into two categories. There are those which are grown for their juice, and there are those which are grown for their food, but we do use it for juice. The typical example brought from the Poskim is zeitun ve'anavim, is olives and grapes are grown for their juice. And tutim ve'rimonim, strawberries and pomegranates are grown for their food, but people do make juice out of it. And the difference between the two is that zeitun ve'anavim, olives and grapes, it's an issur d'oraisa, it's a min haTorah to squeeze them on Shabbos, and therefore we're going to be a lot stricter when it comes to other Rabbanon guidelines, whereas tutim ve'rimonim, which are the Rabbanon, so there'll be less Rabbanon guidelines added to the equation. The one case we mentioned is squeezing onto food, that heta of squeezing onto food, although Royim HaPoskim say that it's mutter, since there is a meal, they say that it's not mutter, therefore when it comes to those things that are also the raisa, one shouldn't do it. The other halacha would be, is when we have mashkin shezavu me'aleim, when the liquid has been extracted by itself, either because the fact that the fruit is very ripe and the liquid just comes out as it sits, or because it was put into the press before Shabbos, and during Shabbos it continues coming out, but not because I'm doing a melacha on Shabbos, that's for sure. What is the din of that liquid? If it's a daraisa to squeeze the fruit, so then we say the liquid that comes out is also a mukta, whereas if the squeezing is the rabbanon, and the fruit is kept for eating and not for juicing, so then the liquid that comes out is permissible to drink on Shabbos. So now the practical example would be if you take a orange, a nice, fresh, juicy orange, and you slice it in two. And it's inevitable when you slice your orange in two, that liquid's going to come out. Now you want to drink up that liquid that's on the cutting board. What is the deal? So too, if you're eating grapefruit, you slice a grapefruit in half, and you scoop it out with a spoon, and there's loads of liquid flying out between your shirt and your face. There's also some that lands on the plate. And you want to drink what's on the plate, what is the deal in that liquid? So if you hold that grapefruits and oranges are d'oraisa, so then you could not drink it if you hold that it's the rabbanon, then you can drink it. What did we say is the criteria for a difference between d'oraisa and the rabbanon? Is what are they grown for? Are roiv of this fruit grown for the juice, or is this fruit grown for their for the actual flesh? So it seems to be quite accepted, but amongst most of what I've seen, is that citrus fruits in the general whole are more used for their juice than used for their food. And therefore, there is a tzad to say that squeezing citrus fruit on Shabbos would be an issur d'oraisa. Obviously not all citrus fruit. I don't know about pomelos being squeezed for their juice. But generally, let's call it oranges and grapefruits. That rove of the oranges and the grapefruits are squeezed for their juice. So on a very straightforward, so I say simple but nothing simple, on a very straightforward way, of the way that I've explained things now, I would say that citrus fruit is d'oraisa, and you have to treat them like zeisim v'atavim, and therefore the juice that comes out of them cannot be drunk on Shabbos. However, there's a lot to be said about it, so I'll just mention a couple of points. The Torah gives particular importance to olive oil and to wine. In fact, we know that wine has its own bracha. When you squeeze an orange, you make shahakal of the orange juice. When you squeeze a grape, you make bo priagofen, grape juice. Wine has a very particular standing in halachic terms. The Torah has special names for it. You have tirosh v'yitzar, tirosh being grape juice, yitzar being olive oil. And these are in halachic terms, in Torah terms, very often the zeisim and anav, olives and the grapes, are referred to by their final product, which is the oil and the wine. And some say that this discussion of making juice out of zeisim v'anavim, that it should be d'oraisa, is dafka zeisim v'anavim because they have this particular mention in the Torah about their juice. Whereas oranges, although millions of oranges are turned into juice, sold all around the world, yet they don't have a particular standing from a Torah point of view. They don't have a special name for the orange juice. We don't make a special bracha on the orange juice. And therefore, it's not as, it's not as caution as the other two, and therefore the juice that comes out could be that it wouldn't be that squeezing would be an issur d'oraisa. There are other swaras as to that a orange, the ikka is the flesh, and after you squeeze out the juice, there's still flesh left behind, whereas grapes and olives, apparently most of its flesh turns into juice. There's a lot of discussion put about oranges and grapefruits. And of course, therefore there will be a nice set of machlokes. And the way I think halachically we'll look at it is that it's going to be a machlokes whether oranges or grapefruit are d'oraisa or not. In other words, until now we had clear definitions. Something that was d'oraisa, so we don't drink the juice that comes out of it, even if it was came up by itself. Something was the Rabbanon, you do. Now, what about something that's Safik d'oraisa, Safik d'Rabbanon? What's the din? So since we explained that the two chumras themselves only come as a result of a Safik, so now we've got a double Safik. In other words, we said squeezing fruit onto food, where it goes from food to food without, you're not making a liquid out of it. The reason why we machmir with zeisim v'anavim is because there is an opinion that it's osur. Rove opinions hold that it's permitted. Since there's a milut opinion that it is osur, there's a minority opinion that asks it. So in d'oraisas, we'll go the kula. Over here, says Shlomo Zalman and others, that oranges and grapefruits is a machlokes. So in a machlokes, you also don't look umrah. He says you can rely on the more lenient opinion because it's not for sure that it's minatayra. And therefore, when the juice that comes out of it, you should say the same thing, that the whole reason we machmir about the juice that comes out of it is exera, that maybe you come to squeeze it, but it itself is only a machlokes. So that's one svara that's given. Then we'll get to the next one in a moment. Therefore, what's going to be the nafkamina of what we've said? what's going to come out of the difference of what he says is as follows. According to Rabbi Karp in his Sefer Hilchos Shabbos, he brings from Rabbi Eliashiv that you got to treat citrus fruits that are used for juice as d'oraisa, and therefore you have to be very careful. He says lemons are different, and that's what lemons you can squeeze onto food, because it's not drunk as it is, it's made for as a concentrate. It's got a whole stick of why lemons should be different. But oranges, grapefruits, he says you should treat them as d'oraisa, and therefore you have to be very careful with the liquid that comes out. Now, after a minute, when you cut your orange and the liquid spills on the plate, you can't drink it up. If you're eating your grapefruit and you've got liquid on the plate, you shouldn't drink it up. What about the liquid that's in the grapefruit? So he says that's still mixed with the pulp, it's still mixed with the fruit itself, and therefore, as long as there's fruit left, so he says there's no problem of eating the juice that is in the grapefruit. But you have to be very careful. He's very machmir on how one should eat grapefruits. On the other side, you have Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman, based on the various reasons that I mentioned and others, holds that you treat them as the rabbanon, and therefore he says there's nothing wrong with the eating grapefruits and oranges. You can eat them just like any other fruit and treat them as such, and they do not get the chumrah of the d'oraisa fruit. And that is how the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa does. Rabbi Reuben, in his Sefer Aruch Shabbos, takes a little bit of a middle way, but he says, even if you go with Rabbi Eliashiv, he says there's many, many starting to be mako, and therefore he says that you don't have to worry when you eat your grapefruits about the liquid that comes out. He's added to the fact that it's mixed in with the pulp when it's inside the fruit, and therefore he says one can eat grapefruits with a spoon and scratch it out without a problem.
Sorry, can I add something that's really not relevant to Shabbos? But if one drinks the juice from the grapefruit plate, one needs to be careful because the grapefruit peel has been sitting in it.
And the grapefruit peel very often has knimot, and you have to watch out for bugs. That's what you're pointing out.
Right.
Yes, thank you. I mean, different grapefruits, and obviously one has to look at them and see. True, that's a big point. I just had a whole bunch of pomelit, and I was peeling them, and they had a load of brown spots in them. Now I washed them, but the brown spots don't come off when you wash. You've got to rub really hard. But I washed them. I started peeling them, and I noticed I got the brown spots all over my hand, and from there it was going onto the fruit. And the white of the fruit was covered with brown spots. I had to be very, very careful. So yes, thank you. So back to the idea of squeezing citrus fruits, I would say that even if it's a d'oraisa, even if you would say that it is d'oraisa, a lot of possible hold that since it's only a suffix of d'oraisa and with other Svaras that they throw in, you can treat it as a regular fruit, and therefore there's no problem with the juice that comes out of it. And if you want to be machmir, so don't drink what spills on the plate. But what's caught in the fruit itself while you're eating the grapefruit is nicha, not a problem, even caught in the machmirim, because it's mixed with the pulp. Therefore, for those who eat grapefruit on Shabbos, they continue doing so with a clean conscience. The story that I was saying in the middle was, that I got cut out of, was a certain rabbi who likes to be extreme in expressing his opinions. Just for the sake of getting his point across, I think, he was once giving us a shiur on this and said, I was once with my son-in-law, and my son-in-law, what a flummy. He ate his grapefruit and he wouldn't touch the juice that was lying in the plate. And I said to him, give it to me and I'll drink it. That was his way of saying that he passed his lukula on the subject. Okay, so that's that brings us to the end of Hilchos Shechita. And now we will start Hilchas Tchina. The next melacha in preparation of bread, after you've plowed the fields, sown it, watered it, breathed it, put it into a pile, threshed it, winnowed, separated, then you need to grind the wheat to make flour, and then you can mix it together with lisha, and then you can bake it. So we're not exactly following the halacha or exact rules because we've done bishul already, which is the baking. But we've got dash tchina, and soon we'll get to lisha. So tchina is the grinding of fruit. It doesn't have to be dafka grinding. Grinding is just a literal translation of tchina. It could also be crushing, or squishing, or slicing. And slicing into small slices where the result is very small would also be a problem of tchina on Shabbos. In fact, the Mishnah Berurah discusses the issue of chopping wood on Shabbos. Now, I'm not talking about chopping wood that is on a live tree, because that would be a problem of koitzer. That would be cutting it off from its source, like reaping and harvesting. So that would be also on Shabbos. So chopping down a tree would be a problem of koitzer. But if you have a log that's lying on the floor, it's cut before Shabbos, now you want to chop it in half, is there an issue of chopping that wood in half? So the first issue that he brings is that, it's a very weekday activity to go chop wood. But otherwise, he didn't come up with many melachos as such. Interesting that there's no melacha in chopping wood. We know the famous story that the Benoit Tzlachot came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Shlomo Nigora, we're a bunch of sisters, and we're going to get married, and our husbands are going to get the portion of land that our father received. And we have a whole discussion over there. And Medrash tells us who was Tzlafat, who was the father of these girls. He was the one who we talk about, he was the Mekoshish Eitzim. Talk about a person who was found to be Mekoshish Eitzim, purposely not translated at the moment. And he was put into detention cell, put into holding, until they could work out what to do with him. They knew that he was Mechalal Shabbos, but they weren't sure which Misa he would get. Once he got word from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he was taken out and given his punishment. And the question is, what did he do wrong? Because if you translate Mekoshesh to chopping, then what's wrong with chopping wood? And the Rishonim there all go through different explanations of what could be he was doing wrong. Maybe it was Ma'amir, maybe it was Koitzer, it was a whole discussion. So why did I bring that up is because when it comes to chopping wood, very interestingly enough, there's no real direct melacha in the actual chopping of wood if it's not wood that's attached to the ground. But, says the Mishnah Berurah, if you're cutting it to size, you want particularly sized logs, that's a problem of chatech, of cutting to size. Or, it says, if you cut into very small pieces, it's a problem of tochen. Or, if the purpose of your cutting is to make sawdust, that also is considered tochen. So it's interesting that the actual chopping of wood is not a melacha, but it's all the byproducts that come with it that could be the melacha. So, again, tchina is grinding or taking a solid hole and making it into a into smaller pieces, or even a mush. We'll talk about mush in a moment. Now, even in cases where we say that what you are doing is not tchina, or it's not osimishim tchina, nevertheless, a kli that was a utensil which its purpose is to do tchina with, it may not be used on Shabbos, the shumpan of oifen, in no circumstances. And similar to what we had in Boirer, that it's clear miyuch lekach it's asur. Although in Boirer we said that if it's mutter, then you could use a clear miyuch lekach. In Teichim we're going to say you cannot use a utensil that its specific purpose is to do tchina. So in the case of Boirer we had, for example, if you're peeling a food, where the peel is normally eaten. Therefore, you're just separating food from food. You're allowed to peel it on Shabbos with a peeler. Whereas with tzedek, we'll see that you cannot do such a thing. Okay, so an example of a kli hamiyuchad lekach, Rav Noda brings a onion slicer. I'm not familiar with such a thing. Maybe other people have seen it, but he says an onion slicer. It seems to be some sort of tool that, when you spin it, it's based with a spring loaded or something like that, and it slices up the onions into tiny pieces. And it says using such a thing on Shabbos is possible to use such a machine. Whereas an egg slicer, which is you put the egg into a receptacle and then you pull over to a set of strings that are small and tight, or knives, and slices the eggs into slices, is that smaller because that's not considered cutting it into small pieces. Also, because eggs is no kochan in eggs. And the same thing, if you have a cheese slicer, it's mutter to use on Shabbos, but its main purpose is not to do tchina, and therefore you may use those things. That would be an example. Now, there's also something else to point out in tchina, is that we're going to divide our food into two groups. Foods that come from the ground, kidule karka, they have been grown, and foods that are not kidule karka. What are examples of gidula karka? So obviously fruits and vegetables. That would include chocolate. Chocolate is from the cocoa bean which grows on a tree. What's the examples of food that are not gidula karka would be eggs, meat, fish. Interestingly enough, sometimes meat is referred to as something that's gidula karka because after all, the animal gets sustenance from the ground. So he's second degree gidule karka. In this particular case, we're going to say that we're not going to take the chumrah and we're going to treat meat as non-gidule karka. And there's another thing to point out is ein tchina achat tchina. Something that has been ground once, generally speaking, I say that because there's an exception, cannot be ground a second time. I mean, physically can, but it's not considered as a meleches tchina when you grind something that has been pre-ground. So, if you make matzah meal out of your matzah, it's not from the tchina, because the matzah came from flour, which was ground, and then mixed with water, which bound it, and then you grind it again, that's no problem. So you cut your challah, you cut your bread with a knife that makes an enormous amount of crumbs. You don't have to worry about tchina over there because the bread was something that was pre-ground. Now, fruits and vegetables that are raw, that are not in the cooked state, one may not cut them up into small pieces. You want to make a salad, you want to cut your tomatoes and cucumbers. You have to be careful not to cut the pieces too small. If you like having very small pieces of salad, then do it on Friday. Even if you do it immediately prior to eating, the way we paskin, there is a machlokas here, and we'll see why I mention that, is that with that just in boire, we say if it's the outer, that's one of the conditions to allow boire. In tchina, if it's for immediate use, we do not use that as a heter to do tchina in the case that it's asked. However, there is an opinion from the Ramah that if something is for immediate use, then it is considered derech achila and not derech tchina, and therefore it is mutter, and we will use this in a case of shasat chak. If you have a child or an elderly person who needs to eat something, and the only way to serve it to them would be by cutting it into very small pieces, So if we have to do that, then we will rely on this opinion that if it's samuch la'achila, then you can do it, so then it can be done, but it has to be done before, just as you eat. Which also means that if you're sitting to eat a piece of food, I'm going to give an example of a schnitzel, but a schnitzel is not going to do like carcass, it's not a problem. So the question of when you cut up your food before you eat it, that everybody says is considered derech achila. So the slices that you cut on your plate before you put in your mouth, we don't have to worry about. That is considered derech achila. Now, there's certain foods that don't really grind up. You have a grain, so grain turns into flour. But what about mushy foods like bananas and avocados? You don't grind them, they just go from solid to mush. So according to most poskim, that is also considered as tchina, and therefore you cannot mush bananas or mush avocados to smear it on your bread, because that it will be a problem of tchina on Shabbos. If it is so soft that it is that in your hand, it while you hold it, it's already mushy. Ad kedei kach, that it were you to hold it on one end, the other end will just fall off. It's not solid enough to stay in one piece. Then we say that it's already squished and crushed, and therefore crushing it further is not a problem on Shabbos. If you have a avocado mush that you've prepared from before Shabbos, but it's still very much a lump, a solid lump, then one has to be careful again also not to cut it into smaller pieces when serving it. Now, Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva based on Achronim, that the definition of grinding is when you take a solid and make it into smaller particles. That is the typical case of grinding of flour. If you have a wheat and you grind it into a fine flour, which is made of smaller particles. When you crush something or mush it, then you're just changing its constitution from more of a solid into a softer halfway between solid and liquid. But you're not dividing it into individual pieces. And therefore, they want to say that does not constitute tchina. Therefore, mushing a banana or an avocado is not an issue in Shabbos because of the fact that it doesn't divide it into smaller pieces. Now, this is it's an opinion, an accepted opinion, but it's not the Roiv opinion. And therefore, even Reb Moshe, when he says to rely on it, he says you should do it at least with a shiva. So in a case that you need to serve a child some mashed bananas, so then one can rely on Reb Moshe for the sake of a child to serve the mashed bananas, but do it with a shinoi. That means you use the back of a spoon instead of a fork, or you use the handle of the fork instead of the tines of the fork. Things that have become so soft and they fall apart as a result of cooking, so then also that's considered as have had tchina. You don't have to go through a grinding process or go through a machine. The cooking itself, if it makes it so soft that it falls apart, so then mushing it would not be a problem. And therefore something like jam, or if Americans call it jelly, that is, you smear it onto your bread and it has fruit inside it. So now to smear it on the bread and the fruit might be spread and more mashed as you smear it onto the bread. That's not a problem because it is so soft that it is considered as having had tchina already. Nevertheless, as we pointed out before, that when doing these forms of tchina, even though we say that halachically is permissible, nevertheless you have to be careful not to do it with a utensil that is made for it. So for example, a way to make your mashed vegetables would be to take a container that has what looks like a sieve at the bottom, and or a strainer, and you force the vegetables through the strainer and they come out mashed on the other side. I actually can picture still my mother preparing vegetable soup by putting her vegetables through, not before the days of where we use stand mixers to grind up our vegetable soups. My mother had one of these containers that had the strainer at the bottom and had a nice handle with you that forced the pressure down and the vegetables went through, and you got your mush vegetables on the other side. I remember standing next to my mother, or perhaps it was the kitchen help, and always asking for a turn to help, because I loved using it. But that is a kli hamiyuchad. That is a kli that is a utensil that is made for tchina. Now, even though we said that vegetables that have been through and through cooked that are falling apart by themselves, if they're so soft, and there's no tchina involved, nevertheless, to put them through a kli hamiyuchad lekach, to put them through a utensil that its purpose is to do tchina, that we're not going to allow on Shabbos. You do need to crush such vegetables. Then you use a fork. Even though a fork is very good for crushing, and it's not a shinoi, but that's not what a fork is made for. Therefore, it's not a kli hamiyuchad lekach. Some more examples of ein tchina achat tchina. That's when you, once you ground something, there's no issue of grinding it again, is bread, matzah, cookies, biscuits, chocolate, lumpy sugar, lumpy salt, and the same thing would apply to medication. If for whatever reason a person needs to take a pill on Shabbos, in a case where it's permitted to take a pill on Shabbos, and needs to crush the medicine. So our medicine has been pre-ground, and therefore there's no problem of actually crushing the medicine. This is quite ironic, because the whole issue of taking medicine on Shabbos is based on the xera of shchikas samamonim, that you might come to crush your medicine. And I just said that crushing medicine is mutter. But obviously what they're referring to is in old days you had your herbs and your various potions that had to be processed, and they were crushed before they were processed. And there the crushing was an issur tchina properly, because you were doing the first time tchina, and you made up a potion, a solution, and gave it to the patient to ingest, and hopefully it gave him a refuah. Nowadays the medicine that we have has all been ground up and then reconstituted with various starches to hold them together. So therefore, crushing up a standard medicine wouldn't be a problem. Salt, one has to know where the salt came from, because sometimes the salt has not been pre-crushed. If it was mined salt and you have, for example, kashrut salt that never was crushed up to be small salt, we have to be careful which salt to use. But something that was fine salt, and then through moisture it's clumped up, so there's no problem of breaking it apart. Thank you. We said that food that does not grow from the ground, therefore there's not gidul karka, you're allowed to do tchina to it. But nevertheless, even so, you still can't use a kli hamiyuchad lekach, you can't use a utensil that was made for it. Therefore, you can cut your meat up into very small pieces, you can cut your fish, cut your eggs, but again, not to use a grater or something like that to do it. If you're cutting up your cheese, it's also not considered gidul karka, but you can't use what the possum call a rib eisen, a grater, but you can cut it up into very small pieces. Now, one exception to that rule, let's see if we can fit this in the last minute that we have, is a sod of earth. A sod of earth, to crush it up into its pieces, obviously, without dealing with the issue of mukta, because earth, generally speaking, is mukta, unless you set it aside or whatever.